Hello and welcome to the Lockdown CX podcast. I am Spike Friedman, not alongside Grant Goldberg today because this is a special crossover episode with Locked On Packers, and we are going to get to my conversation with Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers right after this. But before we do, I'm going to give a quick shout out to our sponsor today, MyBookie. You guys, you're always asking me where to bet, how to bet. You know that I don't know. You know that about me. But you know what I'm going to tell you. It's as important where you bet as how you bet. So you got to bet with MyBookie. Why? Because they're trusted. They always pay out. And they got a great app, in-game betting. You can bet on fantasy points. It's all there for you. So MyBookie is the place to bet this weekend. And I hope you are still here and listening, because my conversation with Peter from Locked On Packers is fan-freaking-tastic. I mean, we break it all down. We talk. I mean, I only get to Michael Dixon at the end, but it's still really good, and you should listen to all of it. You can learn a lot about the Packers. Peter is great, and it will be coming up right now.
And now it is time to get to Crossover Wednesday. Locked On Packers and Locked On Seahawks. Our powers combine, just like Captain Planet. Spike Freeman from Locked On Seahawks. Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers. And let's jump right in here. The Packers and the Seahawks are in an interesting position, because if you want to evaluate these two teams, they both each had a common opponent, the Los Angeles Rams. Both failed to win those games, but had opportunities late to do so, or at least in the case of the Seahawks, actually got the ball because their kick returner decided not to take the ball out of the end zone and fumble. So when you look at these two teams, Spike, what are the differences that you're able to see in terms of what you think they're gonna be able to do on Thursday?
It's interesting. There are a lot of similarities between where these two teams are right now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with young and sort of broken secondaries in some ways, but also like successfully growing new cornerback talent for both. So when I look at both of our safety positions, in our case, it's been a position of strength for so long. In your case, HaHa Clinton Dix obviously started better in his career than he has played over the last couple of years before moving on. I see holes in the middle of the field, and with Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, you've got two incredible quarterbacks who are capable of exploiting that. And so for me, when I look at these two teams, there's a surprising amount in common for me. But then you have to get into the running game, which is a totally different question. But I want to stick on safeties for a second. Who are you guys even starting at safety this week? Do you have safeties right now in Green Bay? What's going on?
Well, this is an interesting question in particular this week, because the Packers started Tremont Williams and Kentrell Bryce against the Dolphins. That was their preferred look against the Patriots as well. Then Kentrell Bryce got hurt. He had a pretty serious ankle injury. It sounds like he's in a walking boot. Pretty unlikely that he is going to play. And maybe by the time you're listening to this, he's already been ruled out. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. And so what Green Bay did is, rather than move Josh Jones, who had been the starter at, you know, the Packers' safeties are more or less interchangeable, but he had been the starter at strong safety next to HaHa Clinton Dix as a rookie last season, and then lost that job to Kentrell Bryce. Well, not to get too in the weeds, it was Kentrell Bryce's job. He got hurt, and then it was Josh Jones's job. But that was last season. This season, they preferred to not play Josh Jones at strong safety. They put in Raven Green, who had a great game against the Dolphins. I wouldn't expect any of your listeners to have a clue who that is.
No, I don't have a clue who Raven is.
And I'm someone who, before the NFL, or, you know, that is heavy into the NFL draft, I had absolutely no idea who that was. An FCS player, but a really good one. And he also had the special teams. He had the punt fake where he converted on a punt fake run. That's going to be the look. They're going to play with three safeties, so it's going to probably be Tremont Williams, Raven Green, and Josh Jones, to answer your question. But that could all change if the cornerback situation doesn't get better, because right now, all Green Bay has for healthy corners, based on injury reports that we've seen, rookie Jair Alexander, first round pick, rookie Josh Jackson, second round pick, rookie undrafted free agent Tony Brown. That's the full list. If they have to, what they will probably do is what they did at the end of the game on Sunday against the Dolphins, was move Tremont Williams back to corner, have him play in the slot, and then have Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson play on the outside with some combination of Raven Green and Josh Jones at safety. So it's a long answer because it is not an easy question to answer right now for the Packers.
Yeah, no, it's been something as I've watched the Packers this year, watching your rookies be, for the first time in a while, really good in developing at cornerback, but also just seeing all the injuries, seeing all the trouble you guys have had. It was just the first question I had, even though the Seahawks are now a run-first team, maybe even to their detriment, despite going for about 8 yards a carry against the Rams.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about that running game because early on, this is one of the best running teams in the league, as you mentioned, on a per carry basis. And they're doing it, you know, without Chris Carson, or they were doing it without Chris Carson, but with him as well. And Rashad Penny finally showed signs of life against the Rams, which I think was great to see for Seahawks fans. But I also saw a ton of reliance on Russell Wilson still getting outside the pocket to make plays, whether it's on zone reads or just scrambling. It seems like his legs are still a huge part of this offense, for better or for worse.
Well, I'll say it was the first time we really took Russell Wilson out of the shrink wrap all season was against the Rams. And I think there are a couple reasons that happened. The first is Wilson had been on and off the injury report with a hamstring that wasn't really affecting his play, but you could see a little bit of his explosiveness wasn't quite there. He was getting caught from behind by D linemen when he was scrambling, just things you don't expect to see from Russell Wilson. Obviously, that was not happening against the Rams, where he was very effective with his legs. So that is an exciting development for Seahawks fans, because obviously the offense is so much more dangerous when you have the misdirection of just the potential for misdirection of Russell Wilson running the ball. And then the actual effect of him running the ball is just a bonus on top of that. And so if you look at this running back trio that we have right now in Chris Carson, Mike Davis, and Rashad Penny, all three of them have flashed at different times. I think Carson has been the best runner while healthy. That said, he was carrying a big load early. He's coming off a pretty serious injury at the end of last season, and he's just had a bunch of different things nagging at him. He's had a hip, he's had a knee, he's just been all over the injury report. So in an ideal world, he's getting 15 to 20 carries a game as our lead back right now. And then you've got Mike Davis, who's been consistent and solid, sort of a big, strong, tough runner. That's been really nice. And then you've got Rashad Penny, who had looked pretty poor. He had a hand injury in training camp that stopped his development maybe a little bit, but he had not looked good until this last week when he really looked excellent. It wasn't just the numbers. It was how he was getting them, sort of moving laterally through the Rams defense once he got to the second level to turn 5 yard gains into 10 yard gains. That's special. That was exciting. I will never like that draft pick, taking a running back at the back end of the first round rather than finding a way to get into the second round just based on value alone. That Penny pick is never going to thrill me, but I want him to be good, and he finally looked good, and that is exciting. The biggest thing, though, with our running game, Pete loves to run. Tom Cable is a terrible offensive line coach. I think we could say that definitively at this point. And Mike Solari is fine, and our offensive line is fine to good. And you guys saw last year when you guys came, and I believe it was Kenny Clark, and who was your other defensive tackle who just ruined our lives? Mike Daniels. Yeah, just ruined our lives last season. And I don't think you'll be seeing that. The Rams were able to get decent push on the interior with Donald and Sue against a backup guard in Jordan Simmons, who I had not heard of until this season. You know, he was like one of those deep down the draft board undrafted guys out of USC, someone Pete Carroll had a relationship with, brought in, was effective. But again, with DJ Fluker in the lineup, Justin Britt and J.R. Sweezy playing well, our tackles playing far better. This is a different offensive line. You will not sack Russell Wilson 15 times or whatever you did to him last time we played.
That said, this is still the number one offensive line in the league in terms of allowing sacks. Russell Wilson, the most sacked quarterback in football. And part of that is because he wants to extend every play, right? He wants to make every play. And this is something that Aaron Rodgers has had over the course of his season too, or his career rather, because he wants to hold the ball and they want big plays. They don't want to just make every play. They want every play to be a big play. And one of the things I noticed watching the Seahawks this season is the guy that used to be not just the big play threat, but the go-to threat, Doug Baldwin, he hasn't looked healthy all season. And based on what I've seen, it seems like right now, Seattle's most reliable and most explosive pass catcher is not Doug Baldwin, it's Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, absolutely. Baldwin's been dealing with a knee injury. He picked it up before training camp and was talking about the fact that he might not be better than 85% all year. Then he took another injury on top of that that he had to work his way back from. Just is not 100%. It's been great to have him back in the lineup because even 85% of Doug Baldwin is a reliable target for Russell Wilson. It's just there on third down, and Lord knows, something you'll notice with the Seahawks offense is they're not playing for explosives the way the Packers do or the way they used to under Daryl Bevel. They're playing to get to third and manageable and then convert, which is a very dangerous game to play. Even if you're in third and second, third and two, third and three, because you're frequently passing from those situations, you're finding that like teams are pinning their ears back and getting to Russell Wilson on third down. That's what the Rams were able to do. I believe all of their sacks came on third and like between two and six, so it isn't even third and long. So it's one of those situations where having a reliable guy who can get behind the sticks, turn around and be exactly where Russell Wilson knows he can be so he can release the ball quickly, so crucial. And Doug Baldwin is just filling that role this year. Lockett's really come into his own. I mean, he's been making contested catches. His speed is back after some injuries sort of sapped it over the last year and a half. So it's been very exciting to see Tyler Lockett playing at the level that he looked like he would reach when he was a rookie. He hadn't gotten there, and now he is there. So that's very exciting. Similarly for you guys, it seems like a whole different array of wide receivers are making big plays. You know, we're in the post-Jordy Nelson era. Randall Cobb is still around, but there are other guys, MVS. There's a whole fleet of receivers that are new targets for Aaron Rodgers. Amongst them, who are you excited about, and who do you think Aaron Rodgers is excited to throw the ball to?
Just to put a bow on our previous conversation, I just want to point out Green Bay right now, despite playing a game fewer than about half the league, they lead the league in total sacks and are second and third down sacks.
Oh.
So
that is not
a great matchup for the Seahawks
For Brian Schottenheimer playing for third and four and then going five wide with a running back split out. It's not ideal.
Not ideal. But so to your question about the receivers, I think right now you have to be most excited about Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who you appropriately called MVS. That is how he is known already on Packers Twitter and on the internet.
I was a little nervous to pronounce his name, if I'm being totally honest. I didn't want to get it wrong.
Totally
so
fine.
I won't be easy out.
The Packers receiver draft, in terms of just names, I mean, Jamon Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Equanimeous St. Brown. I mean, you can't really get three better named receivers in the draft. The interesting thing is Jamon Moore, the highest of those picks, is right now the least a part of the offense and probably the furthest behind in his development. He really struggled in OTAs and preseason catching the ball, which is, I don't know if you know this, a prerequisite to play receiver.
Oof.
And so what is interesting is the guy who was supposed to be the most raw and the guy who was really supposed to just be a special teams player is Valdes-Scantling, and he has been clearly the best of the three, the most explosive of the three, and the guy that Rodgers trusts the most to be where he ought to be on a given play. Now, there are still going to be miscommunications. There was a play against the Dolphins on Sunday where Rodgers appeared to underthrow MVS. He makes a shoestring catch and picks up a couple yards. Rodgers looks at him and says, two steps. Rodgers is very particular about how he wants his routes run, and the fact that, as you mentioned, Jordy Nelson gone, Geronimo Allison on IR, Randall Cobb hurt, The only guy that he has any sort of continuity with right now in this passing game is Devontae Adams. So the fact that they've been able to be as successful as they have been in this passing game, Rodgers still just has the one interception. He is well behind his normal pace for touchdowns, but still, they have been pretty productive. He leads the league in throwaways. Part of that is the young receivers not exactly being where they need to be, especially on those second reaction plays where he wants you fighting back to the ball and giving him an opportunity to make a play. That is going to come with time. I had Doug Farrar, who your fans are going to know well, tell me on the show a couple weeks ago that this Packers offense is a ballet. And that means it's going to take time to rep. It's going to take time to grow. And with these young receivers, it's not just going to be Odell Beckham Jr. coming in as a rookie and lighting the world on fire. We were pretty spoiled back in 2014 with those receivers doing that. Rookie receivers are generally not going to do that. And so the adjustment the Packers have made is feed the ball to Devontae Adams, and mercifully, thankfully, the adjustment has also been go two tight ends and run the ball with Aaron Jones. And so the Aaron Jones part of this is something I'm really interested in, because the Seahawks, when they were the Legion of Boom, one of the most underrated parts of that defense, and I mentioned this on the show yesterday, was the outstanding run defense. That they were able to be equally efficient stopping the pass and the run out of base personnel because they had freak shows like Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. That was part of what made them so tough. This year, they are a below average run defense by DVOA. And the last 2 weeks, Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley have absolutely gashed this run defense. If the Packers give Aaron Jones 15, 18 carries, can Seattle stop him?
That's a great question. You look at this defensive line, and it doesn't have the depth we used to have. It felt like there was always, you know, there was Tony McDaniel, Clint McDonald. There were guys behind the guys. Obviously, we all knew Michael Bennett, and we all knew Cliff Avril and sort of the big names. But it was the depth and the rotation on the defensive line that meant that our run defense would be just as stout in quarter four as it was in quarter one. That's not the case anymore. This line is not that deep. Jaron Reed and Shamar Stephen have been pretty good this year. Reed is sort of emerging as a very good defensive tackle. And so when we get our run fits right, things go well. Bobby Wagner is, I believe, PFF's number one linebacker graded out this year. He has yet to miss a single tackle all season. The only tackles he's missed over the last two seasons were when he was playing injured against the Rams when they blew us out at home. So, I mean, Bobby Wagner's still
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was watching the Rams game going, I know Bobby Wagner has played well this season. I've watched him in other games, and I know what the grade says. He doesn't look the same athletically to me. And part of that is because he, in his prime, I just felt like he was everywhere at all times. And maybe it was just that I was watching the Rams game and they make everyone look a little like a step slow because of what they're able to do and the speed that they have. But I felt like it was taking a step longer for him to get to the play than I remember with him. And maybe it was just the Rams game. So I just correct that if that's not what you're seeing.
I'm seeing the same thing, but I'm diagnosing it a little differently, which is KJ Wright's been hurt this year. And when he's played on a bulky knee, but he's barely played. And Bobby Wagner, therefore, has to do more and is responsible for more.
Got it.
And I'm not seeing a real sapping of athleticism. I mean, he ended up with 13 tackles, I believe, against the Rams. He still was in holes. He's still doing things. But KJ Wright is so good at covering the field left to right. And when Bobby Wagner is suddenly responsible for a little more space laterally, can he hit those holes as quickly? Can he make those run fits as quickly? And the answer was no, and it was especially no in the second half of that Rams game when KJ Wright was in and out of the lineup, eventually had to leave the game altogether. And Barkevius Mingo's been a very nice addition for the Seahawks. He's been sort of a Swiss Army knife on defense, able to rush the passer, able to fill in for KJ Wright.
But and a great name. Just a great name.
An incredible name. I mean, you'd think he'd be a Packers receiver with a name like that. But he's just not KJ Wright in coverage. He's just not KJ Wright in the run game. And so you've got some issues right now with like the linebacking as a whole, and also with Bradley McDougald in and out of the lineup. I feel like I keep talking about injuries in this situation, but it is like, man, we don't have Earl Thomas. We don't know when Bradley McDougald or KJ Wright is going to be in the game. I guess that's why I'm a little protective of Bobby Wagner's reputation. I'm like, he's the only guy we got left, and he's still making tackles. So I'm like, I'll take it at a certain point. Just suiting up for this Seahawks defense. If you've been one of the stars of it, that's all we got. So I think it'll be interesting just to bring it back around. Todd Gurley is obviously special, and that Sean McVay offense is special. Melvin Gordon is very good, and Phillip Rivers has always gashed Pete Carroll defenses. So it's tough for me to be like, man, our run defense is bad, when going into those two games, it was, I believe, like 12th in the league. You know, it was a slightly above average unit, and then we sort of hit our kryptonite. But that said, Aaron Jones is real, real good, and I am concerned that we will not be able to stop him, especially if you guys get a lead and are just able to pound the ball at us. I'm a little concerned about that.
Well, and the other thing is the Rams in particular, they run a lot of similar concepts in their base nature, inside zone, outside zone, to what Green Bay is going to be running. And the Packers, for the issues they have on the interior, blocking in pass protection, Lane Taylor and Byron Bell are maulers in the run game, and Aaron Jones had some huge holes against the Dolphins, who, I mean, that's not a slouch group. They have some quality players in that front seven, so the fact that they, I mean, Aaron Jones averaged almost 10 yards a carry. And so, I mean, that is going to be a problem. The one other thing that I wanted to ask you about, and I guess there's really two things, but I'll start with this one. You mentioned that makeshift secondary, the guys that they're relying on who are young. Outside of Griffin, who is one of the only known commodities there, and he played well the last time Green Bay and Seattle faced off, I'm sort of looking around the secondary going, Who are these guys?
Yeah, fair. Totally fair. If I'm excited about anybody, and it's really based on expectations, I did not think Trey Flowers would be on the active roster much this year. And he has been our CB2. And he's had some numbers put up on him, but he's also been very good in coverage. He's been very schematically sound for the most part, which is so important because of the way we do our zone coverages, because of how precise the drop has to be, your footwork has to be, in order to be effective in Pete Carroll's scheme. For me, Trey Flowers is really impressed. When he's gotten balls, when he's gotten beat, he's been there. It's just he hasn't gotten the ball or something along those lines. But his coverage has been really, really good, and I am excited about him. Especially since, you know, he's a conversion project. He was a safety in college. So that's sort of out of nowhere for me and very exciting.
The Seahawks have never met a conversion project at any position that they haven't liked.
Yeah. Well, and when it's Pete Carroll doing the converting, I love it. When it was Tom Cable doing the converting, it made me want to die.
Although,
J.R. Sweezy's back and he stabilized our run blocking. So, you know, credit where credit is due. I'm just going to say the safeties are a problem. They're just a problem. Earl Thomas is irreplaceable. Tedrick Thompson, unlike when Earl Thomas was hurt a couple years ago, we had to bring Stephen Terrell in. Tedrick Thompson flashes in some ways. He hits hard. He's fast. He does some things okay. He's not a total catastrophe out there. He is not Earl Thomas. I mean, there was a 3rd and 15 against the Rams where Robert Woods, who, you know, Cooper Kupp was out of the game at that point. Maybe don't leave Robert Woods open on a 3rd and 15 where you're rushing three. Robert Woods, there was a radius of about 4 to 5 yards around him where he caught the ball 20 yards downfield. That was a backbreaker, and that was Thompson breaking wrong. Earl Thomas never broke wrong. Similarly, Bradley McDougald has been very good and versatile. He stepped in for Cam Chancellor last year, wasn't a huge drop off. He's been stepping in, sort of having to fill whatever safety role needs to be filled. He's good. He's not so spectacular. When he was playing alongside Earl Thomas, he looked great. When he's playing alongside Tedrick Thompson or Delano Hill, who I am not sold on yet, it hasn't been great. So much like you guys,
I'm not convinced that those are real players that you just mentioned. I think you're making some of those.
I'm not either. I still don't feel comfortable with any of it. It feels fake. And the Earl Thomas injury is just, if we were having this conversation and Earl Thomas was in the lineup, I'd be very confident right now playing you guys. There's a lot going right for the Seahawks that we didn't think would be going right. The run game, the pass protection, even though the sacks are there, down to down, Russell Wilson can at least operate in a way that he has not been able to for 2 years. And again, like guys like Trey Flowers have been stepping up and being fine. But our pass rush and no Earl Thomas, our pass rush being pretty mediocre and no Earl Thomas, is a deadly combination against good offensive teams. That's what we've seen these last 2 weeks, where we were able to really hang in there on offense against both the Chargers and the Rams, and then just couldn't finish late because they got that extra score on us and we just couldn't do it. So I'm concerned playing Aaron Rodgers, which brings me to my last question. How's Aaron Rodgers doing? His numbers are not there. He obviously had the injury earlier, but he seems to be rounding into form a little bit. Is it just him coming back from the injury? Is it getting used to these new weapons? What's going on with your quarterback?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I think I would push back on the rounding into form part. To me, he's not rounding into form. And he's still missing. I mean, you look at what happened against Miami. He looked good for stretches. And then for other stretches, the ball is not where he wants it. I posted a couple clips on Twitter where, like, he had Marquez Valdes-Scantling running wide open on a play action and just flat out missed him, just threw it behind him and low, and it nearly got intercepted. And you're just like, I don't recognize that guy. Aaron Rodgers doesn't miss. He makes that throw in his sleep. And so those are some of the things. I mean, ESPN tracks off-target throws. And after the Patriots game, I haven't checked the number since then, but after the Patriots game, he moved into the top five in off-target throw percentage. Now, Tom Brady is also...
That is shocking.
Tom Brady is also in that group. And Mitch Trubisky, who has much better counting numbers than a lot of other quarterbacks, is also in that group. Most of the season, it's been Mitch Trubisky, Tom Brady, and then like Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen. Those have been the quarterbacks. But Rodgers has been in that group. And right now, he's still missing, you know, like four or five throws a game where you're just like, "What, Aaron, what's the deal?" And I think part of it is that he is not 100% on that knee, and just confidence-wise. Because he's always going to throw off platform and do weird stuff. But I mean, from a clean pocket with no one around him, with time to step up and make throws, he just has been a little bit off. And I said this on my show earlier in the week. This is why I think if you have confidence that Green Bay can make a second half run, this would be the reason, because the defense is what's rounding into form. And the run game has been good all season. It was good last season. If Aaron Rodgers can get back to just being baseline what we come to expect from Aaron Rodgers, this team can be as good as any team in the NFC. They proved that a couple weeks ago against the Rams. So, you know, do I think it's going to be this week on a short week, you know, with some of the injuries at receiver? Maybe not. But going down the stretch here, I think Aaron Rodgers, all he needs is a little bit more continuity with these rookies, a little bit more practice time. I think the fact that he hasn't been able to practice has hurt him more than he's willing to admit. But Mike McCarthy has said flat out, these are important reps. And if we didn't think they weren't important, we wouldn't have them, right? I mean, it seems intuitive. If we didn't think practice was important, we wouldn't practice. So, I mean, the fact that he is getting does get those reps on a normal week and hasn't been for, you know, at least half the season, I think has been a detrimental part of this offense. So he just needs to play more with these guys. He needs to practice more with these guys. And I think that stuff will come. So let's finish up with this, because it's on a normal crossover Wednesday, I would say it's too early to make a prediction. You don't have to make a prediction, but I'm going to put you on the spot now because the game is tomorrow already. So yep. Packers Seahawks in Seattle, short week for both teams. What do you got?
So I wouldn't be confident against, but again, you're saying Aaron Rodgers is not 100% there. So that gives us a chance and short rest at home. So I think this is going to be a classic Packers-Seahawks weird close one, and I think the Seahawks are going to take it. Now, mind you, this game is crucial. The winner of this game is in the catbird seat for that second NFC wildcard spot. The loser is in bad, bad shape in terms of the playoffs this year. I think the Seahawks are going to take it, and I think the score is going to be weird. Let's go 26-22. I don't know how we get there, but 26-22 Seahawks. How are you picking this one?
It's really interesting because I had a very similar number in mind. And I have 27-24, but I just have a gut feeling about this game. And I think either Mason Crosby makes a field goal late to win it, or the Seahawks miss a field goal late that would tie it and send it to overtime, which would absolutely frighten every Packers fan ever if this game went to overtime, because overtime has not been kind to the Packers and the Seahawks from Packers fans' perspectives. So that is
I'm old enough to remember when that wasn't the case. I'm old enough to remember the other side of that coin, if you will.
Sure. Sure. I was at We Want the Ball and We're Gonna Score. I just wanna put that out there. I talked to Matt Hasselbeck about it a couple weeks ago. But to that point, it is gonna be a close game. I think it's gonna be a good game. I think both teams are going to be able to run the ball, so that's why it's a little bit lower scoring than maybe I would otherwise pick. But I think a late field goal, I think the Packers are able to squeeze this one out. And that's more just because I have more faith in Aaron Rodgers against the Seahawks defense than Russell Wilson against the Packers defense, even banged up. And that's a weird thing to say for me.
No,
in the last five years of these games.
Yes, it makes sense. I do just want to throw out a huge edge the Seahawks have. If you're going to draft a punter in the fifth round, make sure it's Michael Dixon. Make sure it's Michael Dixon. I just want to say that, look, you guys got a good punter in the fifth round, but we got the LeBron James of punting. I try to say it every week, LeBron James of punting. Michael Dixon, you know, if the edge is that small, that level of punting is going to maybe matter. So just throwing that out there.
The LeBron James of punting. I love it. I love it. This is what our listeners come here for. This is why we have Crossover Wednesday. Locked on Seahawks, locked on Packers. That's Spike Freeman. I'm Peter Bukowski. This was fun, man. Hope we get to do it again in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much, Peter.